This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, welcome to Bustin' Balls. I'm Pat Caputo, along with the webmaster. That is one Evan Jenkins, Gen Mint Jenkins on X for y'all, Gent Mint Jenkins. And we talk about drafts, we talk about prospects, we talk about future. And today we're going to talk about the Red Wings, who are frankly a dichotomy, Evan, between what's going on with their club at the NHL level and what's going on in their player development system. There's a wide gap there because their player development system is looking good, very good, actually. But the team on the ice this year is not looking good, and which I addressed in a column. You can check that out, 97.1 The Ticket's website, Pat Caputo 98 on X, and also on our station's X account and Facebook and all that stuff. But maybe you're reading the column and you get this fine podcast inserted in it, which we do. But, Evan, I just wanted to go over some of their prospects and give you and you and everybody else out there some idea of what's going on with some of the players that they drafted in recent years that are kind of in the next wave and what they are doing this year. And have there been some surprises and developments beyond what we know about Raymond, terrific draft pick, could be a potential star. Sider, terrific draft pick, potential star. Those guys are established NHLers at this point. And Simon Edvinson, who's been very good for the Red Wings. And others, you know, Marco Casper, and of course, Sebastian Cosa, who'll be headed back to Grand Rapids, I'm sure, here pretty soon. But he made his NHL debut, and it got a lot of fans excited. So here we go. I did want to say this on Cosa. He's going back. He was just up for an emergency. I know people were like, hey, this is something that's exciting. And he could play in the NHL, I feel. But right now, I do, particularly Talbot's a better goalie than he is. And the Red Wings are fighting for it. So I just don't see where you would have him be a backup at this point.
Yeah, and they did announce that today, Pat.
Okay, so, you know, that was no big surprise at all. And actually, it worked out ideally because they couldn't keep him up here forever. He needs to face pucks in a game. And he did get his beak wet. And that really, I think, will help him long term. It'll give him, you know, fuel his fire, all those things. He's very good. I think you saw flashes of that in that outing against Buffalo. And the shootout, which he was very good in, stopping, among others, Tage Thompson. So he's going to be a quality goalie. And when you're talking about Trey Augustine, who is the number one goalie in college hockey at Michigan State, and which was number one in the nation going into the weekend's games, last weekend's games, they did lose to Wisconsin on Friday, but beat Wisconsin on Saturday in overtime. And Augustine made a great save. I happened to catch that particular game. in overtime. So Michigan State's great, and he's great. Goaltending in the future looks pretty bright for the Red Wings, but it's not quite Kosa's time yet, and I understand why. Although I do wonder on a couple of their prospects why they don't bring him up more. So, but I want to focus in on this one podcast because we give some information you're not hearing anywhere else. And we give it to you before you get it, including predicting who their draft picks are going to be, especially with the Red Wings. We always get those right, it seems. A couple developments this year, early this year. One of them's obviously Amadeus Lombardi at Grand Rapids. He scored 9 goals. He's off to a good start in 20 games. He's on pace to have a real good year. He's a smaller forward. He was a fourth-round pick a couple years ago. Played for the Flint Spitfires. And he, it's like night and day, he's gotten better. Now, is he already and on the cusp of the NHL? No. Would he solve the Red Wings' problem of physicality? No, he's a smaller player who did put up some big numbers in the OHL. But part of the reason he was available is he's a smaller player. But at a young age, he's putting up some pretty productive numbers this year for Grand Rapids. So that's been a great development, and that's one that's been noted quite a bit. Not so much noted are a couple things here. They took a 7th-round pick in the 2023 draft. His name is Emmett Finney, and he's playing for Kamloops in the Western Hockey League. And he is going off this year, scoring a lot of points on kind of a mediocre team. He's a winger. He's got decent size, 6'1", and he's playing beyond where he was drafted. He's already played in the AHL 3 games, and he's gone back to Kamloops and is having a big year, scoring over a point a game in junior hockey. And he's just 19 years old. He was late in his age for the year he was drafted, and it looks like they might have gotten a steal on him. It's a player you're going to hear a lot about. There was some note about him in player developmental camp, but Emmett Finney is making a real good improvement. He's a winger. Another player that is drawing a lot of notoriety, he's 21 years old. He was their 2nd-round pick in 2022. It's Dmitry Bukhanov, who is a 2nd-round pick, 2022, in the KHL. He's scoring a point a game, roughly. He's a small winger, but very, very skilled. And the KHL is the second best league in the world after the NHL, I feel, right? And you got the AHL, it would be right there with the Swedish Hockey League. It would probably go in the order of NHL, KHL, AHL, and then SHL for the top leagues in the world other than the NHL. So to do that, it's notable. Now, he's on a lousy team, and he's putting up big numbers. All right? So he's somebody that played last year and held his own. He's come in this year at 21 and got a little better. I have no idea what their time frame is to bring him over. But he is a prospect who definitely has a shot to play in the NHL and maybe be a productive, good player. Not too much has been said about him. Another development is Max Plant, whose father, Derek Plant, played in the NHL. And Plant was taken in the 2nd round last year off the U.S. developmental team. And he is a center, which is very significant because finding centers is obviously difficult. The Red Wings have had trouble doing that. Now, he started the year hurt for Minnesota Duluth. He's come back. He's played 5 games, and he scored 6 points in those 5 games. Now, they're a crappy team that keeps losing, too. That's good in a sense that he gets a lot of ice time. And he has taken advantage of it. And he has gotten noticed to the point where they added him as a potential player to the U.S. Junior team for the World Championships that are coming up at the end of the month. that, you know, obviously me and Will Birchfield are the only two maybe who are really into it. But, Evan, you've seen that before.
Where we're have.
You know, we're going to be watching some game at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Everybody's wondering what the hell we were doing that day, which was kind of a famous day. So Max Plant, that's really good. Augustine will be the goalie for the U.S. again. The U.S. team will be pretty strong. They got a real good chance to win it, and there's obviously a Red Wing player or two. The real significant player to watch at the U.S. Or in the World Championships will be Axel Sedin Palacka, who I've talked about a lot in the past. He is playing on the best team in Sweden. They've won the championship last year. He's a defenseman, a puck-moving defenseman who's averaging, he's got 22 points in 25 games. And is on pace to roughly a point per game. He's arguably one of the top handful of defensemen in Sweden. Some people might even put him very much at the top. And he'll be one of the most watched players at the World Junior Championships. And I've talked about it before. I'm a bit surprised he's not playing with Grand Rapids at this point. But you'll probably see him at the end of the year. They'll bring him over after the Swedish season's over and probably put him in Grand Rapids. Evan, he's a potential star. I mean, he's not talked about enough. He's somebody that has more of an upside, in my opinion, than Nate Danielson, who they took 7th overall in the draft that year, who's doing well. He's holding his own at Grand Rapids, but not nearly NHL ready. And he is somebody that Sandin was taken in that 17th overall spot in that same draft. And you could flip-flop those two because Sandin Palacka is a star in the making. I mean, he's just brilliant, and it looks like they might have got a steal there. Now, again, he's a young player. He's still in the World Junior Championships, right? So the developmental curve on it, and they're not going to rush him or anything. He's not a big kid, but he's not a small kid either. But that might be the answer for their long-term, and I'm talking about 2 years down the road, puck-moving defenseman, because this kid is really good. All right, very skilled. So those things are going pretty well for them. And he's on the same team with Brandzig Nygaard, their first-round pick this year, 15th overall. He's playing wing, and he's what they advertised. He's an up-and-down winger. He's got a pretty good shot, and he does what they expect him. And on a really good team, he's getting some pretty good looks, and he's popping in some goals. You know, he's roughly a little over half a point a game. I think he's got 8 goals or something like that. He's definitely, for such a young player, more than holding his own in the Swedish Hockey League, where he's playing against experienced men. So those are developments in a very good way for the Red Wings in their minor league system. A couple players are emerging, Finney and Buchnikov. And obviously, they've gotten some play out of players that they anticipated. Brandzig Nygaard's been what they expected. Sedin Palacka is beyond what anybody could have expected at this age and time frame. And their goalies, obviously, you saw Kosa, and he was playing well at Grand Rapids. And certainly Trey Augustine looks like a steal getting him in the second round of the draft a few years ago. So those things are going very well. If there's somebody at Grand Rapids that I would look that I think they should call up, because I'm tired of watching their defense. I mean, they're, you know, Petrie, Gustafson, Sherratt, those guys look more willing than able at this point. The numbers speak for themselves. You look at puck possession and plus minus when they're on the ice. But I would consider Tomitsu, a Finnish kid, 23 years old, second round pick in 2019. So he's been in their system. He's been at Grand Rapids a couple years. He's a Finn who played in the Finnish senior league. So he's got some experience, and he's big. You know, he's 6'5", and he's solid. And he doesn't back down. He's a little rugged, and he's got a booming shot, which hasn't really resulted in that many goals, but might. So I would like to see him get an opportunity for the Red Wings at some point. And that's the one player at Grand Rapids that I think is potentially could help the Red Wings. They're not going to get Carter Mazur up. He's been hurt. He came back from an injury at training camp, played a couple games, and he's been hurt. And there's no time frame for when he's going to come back. And also, you know, players like Cross, Hannes, Lombardi, those younger players, they're not remotely ready for the NHL at this point. And there are other defensemen. I'm looking at Shea Williams, first year pro, really, from Denver University, big time college player on national championship team and teams that went deep, played with Carter Mazur. His brother was a big time draft pick and is tearing it up. But, you know, he's not ready yet either, in my opinion, even though he's an experienced college player. So if I go down to the roster, I see that one player, Tomitsu, that could add value to the Wings in the short term. Otherwise, it's players that are away. So you're not going to get any instant gratification from this. If you're a Red Wing fan and you're like, oh, man, they got to make the playoffs this year, which you make a good point, you know, it would really help the Red Wings' credibility, at least not play garbage hockey like they have for most of the year to get some of these kids up. But it's, you know, don't hold your breath. It's you're not going to get that real shot in the arm like an Edvinson or a Marco Kasper who, you know, it's particularly Edvinson. He's the best player in the world, a defenseman at 21, arguably, in the world. You know, you're not getting a player like that this year. It's not going to happen. So don't hold your breath on it. Yeah. And Kosa, he's going to be in the minor leagues. You might see him at the end of the year, depending on injuries and all that. And he wouldn't have been called up if Jack Campbell from Port Huron, the pride of Port Huron, Evan.
Yeah,
former Leaf and Edmonton Oilers goalie weren't hurt, because that was the guy they got to be their, hey, if something happened to the three goalies they had on their team. But he's been hurt, so.
Well, I think you said it all, and you answered my big question at the end was playoffs there. But I guess my main question would be, do you think the Iser plan is still on track, or – some are starting to call it, I don't know if you heard it, Pat, the Iser scam.
Well, I don't know, man. You know, I'm not big on that. You know, I've gone off a couple times on the radio about the whole thing. There's two different ways to look at it. The one way to look at it is, there's no question the team should be better this year. I mean, I can't even tell you how many times I've been tempted, and I don't want to have to pay for one of the TVs in the studio. firing my shoe at the TV watching the Red Wings. I can say it on our podcast. They've been horse shit, okay?
Yeah.
Let's call it what it is, horse shit. So there's really no defending that. But if you separate it and you look, Lucas Raymond is potentially a first-team all-star. That's how good he is. Sider, same thing. Edvinson, same thing. And they're their best players along with Larkin, and now DeBrincat's picked it up, all right? And they're paying those two guys, and they're in their prime of their prime. You've gotten what you expect, you know, when you brought up the younger player from the minor leagues, Marco Kasper, who, by the way, man, we deserve kudos for picking that one, didn't we? We sure as heck pulled that one out of our ass that time, you know, for their first pick. But, those are their best players. It's like, you know, so those guys, they're doing what they're supposed to do. They've picked it up. And, like, when they played Colorado over the weekend, they came into the third period down by one, and they were being outshot 11-1 until they started double-shifting those guys. And then all of a sudden, they made a big flurry to try to tie the game and should have and all that. But after that, their team stinks. And the players that Iserman signed to term, and you always hear this, like, hey, you know, Iserman's afraid to sign guys to term. That's actually been a problem for him. How can you have a bad penalty kill unit when you signed specifically Andrew Kopp, J.D. Comfer, and then you gave bridge contracts to Michael Rasmussen and Joe Valeno, the two holdover draft picks that you decided to keep from the Ken Holland regime, and your penalty kill's awful. And you got Lucas Raymond out there playing almost 2 minutes a game on the penalty kill. That is unacceptable. And when you look at the defense, you know, the defensemen that they have, like I mentioned earlier, Jeff Petrie is a good NHL career. Sherrod, good NHL career. Gustafson played on the Rangers and all that. But those guys don't have anything left in the tank. And they're there because they've got contracts. And it's certainly not Sider and Edvinson. So if you look at the numbers are starting to separate themselves. If you look at Corsi puck possession, DeBrincat, Larkin, Raymond are all above 50%. Of their defensemen, all of them are like way low. I think with Sherrod, it was like 36% something the last I looked at the Corsi, which is percentage of time you hold the puck when the guy's on the ice. And you know, the only defensemen that are pushing 50 are Edvinson and Sider. You're not going to win doing that, possessing the puck 45, 46% of the time. Now, it's going up a little bit, and they played better that way, but certainly not good enough. So the players that are part of their core for the future, well, they've certainly been coming through here lately. And they provide almost everything for the team. The rest of the players that he signed to, you know, to try to get them into the playoffs to help their younger players, they're just not good. And they're not motivated. I mean, they look boring and awful. And when they come on the ice, you think something's going to happen. And these are somewhat decorated players. So that's where the coaching change comes in. Why aren't you changing coaches? But Yzerman should have his feet held to the fire for those things, because those moves, which – Red Wings are near the top of the salary cap. I know, or you know, their limit aren't paying off. Their age of their team is not young. They should be pushing more for the playoffs than they are. And the team, in my opinion, is underachieving. And there seems to be a hesitation to fire the coach. And I'm not big on firing the coach, Evan. You know, Nuzi right. Lalonde, man. Who am I to sit there, hey, lose your job? But it is the NHL. And he's got one of the longest tenures in the league, believe it or not, because there does tend to be a culture shift. So I don't know what the answer is. I do know that if the Red Wings continue at this pace and they continue to lean on, hey, we're only three games out of the wild card. Yeah, but you're almost one of the worst teams in the league thing because there's so much parity of the way the games are decided.
Yeah.
It's not sustainable. It's just not. And there'll be hell to pay. Now, it's not going to be Yzerman's job. I think anybody who says that is, you know, they're living in la-la land. As long as Marian Ilitch is around, certainly that's not going to happen. And I don't think that's going to happen unless it's just really bad. And there's too much good going on in the things that we talk about on this podcast to really look at it and say, oh, man, this guy's just been an abject failure. No, he's been the opposite when it comes down to drafting and development. The issue has been there's a longer player procurement curve in the NHL, and in the meantime, you have to use your cap space wisely to augment your players. And they're not getting enough out of the players. Tarasenko added nothing, really. Patrick Kane, that's not even a shell of Patrick Kane if you've been watching the Wings closely. And I know a lot of people listening to this have. Gustafson added nothing. And, they've gotten a shot in the arm because Simon Edvinson's so good. But, you know, and he's just starting on his curve to be a really top-line NHLer. And DeBrincat's picked it up a little bit here lately. After some disappointment for an extended period last year and early this year. But, you know, Larkin's doing what Larkin does. But the rest of the team, come on, man, what is that? And hockey, I think hockey fans are smart enough to sense that it's not good enough. I'm sure Yzerman is. But he's not a knee-jerk reaction person. He's not going to fire the coach for no reason if it's that's in his mind. And he's certainly not going to flinch because there are a bunch of barking dogs on sports talk radio, either pundits or fans calling in. So
right.
But it's hard to watch sometimes. I mean, you're like, you know, they should be better. I do. You know, but, you know, what the answer is, and to be honest with you, I would look at coaching change. And I've said this before about Newsy Lawan. It's nothing about, like, him being a bad coach, but they need somebody who's been an NHL player, and they need somebody who'll, you know, give them a kick in the ass, all right, and has the gravitas to do that. And that would be Gerard Gallant, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's just my opinion on that.
Yeah, I mean, Gallant is definitely the name that's brought up so often because I don't know if you've heard this before, Pat, but he played with Steve Yzerman.
He did, but, you know, the thing about it, you can't question about if he's calling you out about toughness.
Yeah.
Because he was tough as nails, and you can't question his success as a coach because he's had a lot of success as a coach. So, Yzerman friendship and all that. The only thing I'll say about the Yzerman thing, and I'll say this over and over again, people who think, you know, that Red Wing fans who follow hockey closely are just, because it's Steve Yzerman, they're giving him a free pass, are full of shit, okay? All right? It's irresponsible, commentary, in my opinion. Just my opinion, all right? Everybody's got a right to theirs. They might think what I'm saying is irresponsible. But the bottom line about it is that's not why. It's because of the things that I mentioned. About that are going well for the organization. And it doesn't bother me that much as a pundit to see, like, hey, you know, the Red Wings are terrible. This is unacceptable, and that brought up. But to act right. Like if, you know, these, you know, Red Wing fans are a bunch of sycophants who don't know anything about hockey, to me is a sign that those who say that don't know much about hockey.
Cool. I kind of agree with that. I mean, with the way that you lay it out, yeah, it seems like a easy button to press there.
Yeah, it is. It plays well, and it plays well because the team's bad. So, and that I understand very much, and it needs to be mentioned. All right. So you've read some of the columns that I've written about this, about how disappointing this year is. It's just kind of continued here, and it's past Thanksgiving now. All right. So, and yet there's no separation. There's just a big clog in the middle there where the Red Wings are very much in the playoffs, race. You know, I mean, there's virtually no separation between the worst team in the Eastern Conference and the playoff team, which is the disappointing. Last I looked, Rangers. So, in terms of points. So it's just, it's really kind of weird to look at it, but I think the Red Wings have been profoundly disappointing so far this season. And but looking at the things that are going on in their prospect line, those things have been going pretty good. So that's kind of the bottom line about it. Anyway, we enjoyed the podcast today. Evan, thanks for contributing your two sentences there. I appreciate it.
Anytime.
I think I'm always here.
Happy to help. I mean, Pat, you know those guys in Grand Rapids better than anybody, so just let you go. And
I watch those games, actually. They're not a bad team. You know, they've got some good qualities to them. And there are some younger players, but and I follow those kids, you know, as much as I can that are playing in Sweden and all that. And certainly the college players, because I love college hockey as well. So this is a big time of the year for me with the World Championships coming up, and of course we got the four nations in this, you know, as well. So this is going to be a fun winter as far as I'm concerned. So, but anyway, appreciate it. I always appreciate you, Evan. I know when I talk hockey, I start going.
So it's not a bad thing.
Don't forget to like us. At the iTunes Store, Google Play Store, wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow Pat Caputo 98 on X and also the 97.1 The Ticket X account to get the podcast. Same with Facebook. as well, particularly the ticket Facebook page. This will be up on, and of course, Evan will post it as well on his account, which is Gent Mint Jenkins. Just for everybody who wants to, follow Evan as well. He's a good follow. So until next time, we'll see you.